Hello and welcome to the reading of the Yuma Sun. This is Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster. Today I'll be reading some of the following articles. Avenue G, County 11th, to close today, Monday, for $1.31 million curve realignment. Border Patrol reports fentanyl seizure, visa, overstay, arrest in separate incidents. Inside City Hall, Community Q&A. Our first article, written by James Gilbert of The Sun, Avenue G, County 11th, to close today, Monday, for $1.31 million curve realignment. Avenue G and County 11th Street will close for 4 weeks starting today as Yuma County begins a $1.31 million project to realign the curve at the intersection. County officials say the work is meant to improve safety at a spot where two fatal crashes happened. The project was awarded to DPE Construction through an Arizona Department of Transportation procurement. The county says the new curve will replace the sharp turn that exists now. That will help reduce crashes and making the intersection easier to navigate for drivers traveling between San Luis, Summerton, and Yuma. Closure will run from August 17th through September 14th. Project manager Colby Ethington said the county hopes to reopen the road by mid-September, even though work will continue into October. We're pushing to get it open, Ethington said. The project ends October 16th, but the goal is to finish the remaining work without keeping the road closed past mid-September. Ethington said the project was needed because traffic studies showed safety problems at the intersection, including two fatal crashes. It meant the criteria of the Highway Safety Improvement Program, he said. So we put the project together and decided to implement a curve to avoid accidents at the intersection. Drivers will be deterred at County 14th Street, then routed to Summerton Avenue before reconnecting with Yuma Roads. Ethington said motorists should follow posted traffic control devices and remain alert for construction personnel. To avoid multiple closures, the county also coordinated with Yuma County Water Users, which will be repairing a leaking irrigation pipeline that is located on County 13 and 3/4 Street. We implemented them into this closure and extended it so they could work during PE's closure, Ethington said. The finished project will look similar to a curve realignment the county completed on Summerton Avenue and H Street. We're taking it from a hard right angle turn and creating a curve, Ethington said, so there's no stop sign anymore for traffic traveling through Avenue G and County 11th. Traffic control signs, message boards, and construction equipment are already in place at the site. This article, written by James Gilbert of the Yuma Sun, Avenue G, County 11th, to close today, Monday, for $1.31 million curve realignment. James Gilbert writes, Border Patrol reports fentanyl seizure, visa overstay, arrest in separate incidents. Yuma Sector Border Patrol agents reported two arrests this week in separate incidents involving narcotics, smuggling, and an immigration violation. On July 28th, Wilton Station agents conducted a vehicle stop at Interstate 8 near mile marker 48. A canine alerted to a piece of luggage inside the vehicle, leading agents to discover approximately 23.68 pounds of fentanyl. The narcotics were seized and turned over to the Drug Enforcement Administration for further investigation. The day before, July 27th, Blythe Station agents arrested a Pakistani national during a traffic stop. Border Patrol said the man's B2 visitor visa expired in 2021, leaving him with no legal status to be in the United States. Despite that, he possessed a current New York State driver's license and told agents he was returning home to Los Angeles. He will be processed for deportation. Yuma sector officials said both cases remain under review by federal authorities. Inside City Hall, Community Q&A, the article is written by the City of Yuma. Public Works answers questions about traffic signals, street maintenance, and neighborhood projects. Have you ever wondered what the camera on traffic signal poles do, how the city decides which streets need maintenance, or who to contact about a pothole? For the first edition of Inside City Hall Community Q&A, we spoke with Public Works Director Joel Olea to answer a few questions about streets, traffic signals, and projects happening around Yuma. What are the cameras and other equipment mounted on the traffic signal poles? The camera residents see new traffic signals are used as sensors to help detect vehicles at an intersection. They can tell when a car, motorcycle, or bicycle is waiting and send that information to the traffic signal. Think of them as motion sensors that open the doors at a grocery store. When a vehicle is detected, the system helps the signal respond to traffic and can cut down on unnecessary wait time. The cameras have also replaced older sensors that were installed beneath the pavement. Those sensors could be damaged by street work or heavy traffic, making overhead cameras a much more reliable option. Some traffic signal poles also have equipment that communicates with ambulances and fire trucks. This can help give first responders a green light as they respond to an emergency. And no, these cameras do not issue red light or speeding tickets. They do not record, video, take pictures, or capture license plate information. They are simply there to help traffic signals respond to vehicles, cut down on unnecessary wait time, and keep traffic moving safely throughout the city. How does the city decide which streets, sidewalks, or other public areas need maintenance? In general, Public Works looks at immediate safety needs and long-term maintenance planning. If a pothole, sidewalk, trip hazard, or another issue creates immediate safety concern, those repairs may be moved up the list so crews can address the problem as quickly as possible. The city also uses pavement management software to track the condition of streets and help plan further maintenance. The system ranks roadway conditions and helps staff determine what type of treatment may be needed. The goal is to take care of urgent issues while also planning ahead and maintaining streets before they require more extensive and costly repair. How can residents report potholes, damaged sidewalks, or other right-of-way concerns? Residents can report buckled sidewalks, damaged curbs, potholes, and other concerns directly to the Public Works Department. Reports can be made by calling 928-373-4500. They can also email streets@yumaaz.gov or using Yuma Click and Fix through the app or city website. When reporting an issue, include the exact address or nearest intersection and a brief description of the problem. If you are submitting the report digitally, a photo can also help crews locate and review the issue. Once a report is received, Public Works can document the concern, review the issue, and determine the appropriate next step. How can residents stay informed about projects happening in their neighborhood? There are a few easy ways to stay up to date on street, sidewalk, utility, and other improvement projects happening around Yuma. The weekly City of Yuma Road Report is a great place to start. It includes information about upcoming lane restrictions, road closures, and projects happening throughout the city and is posted on the City of Yuma News Release web pages. Residents can also follow the City of Yuma government social media pages for community notices, project updates, and photos. For major street projects, traffic control signs will also be posted in the work area. Properties directly impacted by the scheduled work are notified at least 48 hours before work begins. If you have a question about city services, programs, or how something works, send it to communications@yumaaz.gov. Your question could be featured in a future edition of Inside City Hall, Community Q&A. The article is written by the City of Yuma. Cesar Nayoya Abaja El Sol writes, National Rifle Shooting Champion recognized as a Somerton source of pride. Dateline Somerton. Mildred Hernandez has become a source of pride for Somerton after winning the National Rifle Association National Championship in rifle shooting last month. On Tuesday, the COFA High School graduate was honored by the mayor and city council for proudly representing her school and community in the sport. Hernandez spent 4 years at COFA's Marine Corps Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps, known as MCJROTC, where she trained in air rifle shooting and built the discipline that led her to the national title. "I feel very proud of myself, my team, and my coach, who helped me a lot during these 4 years. As for me, it is an honor to be recognized by my community," said Hernandez, who was part of the MCJ ROTC program for 4 years and was the first student from Yuma County to qualify for an NRA national competition. "I had the opportunity to go to all those competitions and win medals representing COFA, which motivated me a lot," added the young woman, who was born in Yuma and raised in Somerton. Hernandez said, "Shooting is a very demanding sport that requires strong discipline and concentration, but she decided to take it up in search of a different activity. It was a very demanding sport. You have to be very disciplined and not miss practice because it's a year-round sport. You have to get up early to go to competitions, maintain good grades, and behave well," said Hernandez, who nevertheless found time and energy to participate in other school clubs, including the dance club. Along with the gold medalists, three other members of the MCJ ROTC team helped COFA finish second as a team at the NRA National Competition among 27 teams. Hernandez will attend NAU and plans to study medicine, explained that rifle shooting competitions are held in three positions, standing, prone, and kneeling. At the national competition, the Somerton student competed against 131 participants. Mayor Gerardo Anaya emphasized that the young woman is a source of pride for Somerton and its community after winning the national championship and becoming the first student from the county to reach a competition at the level in rifle shooting. Cesar Nayoy of Dahe El Sol writes, "National rifle shooting champion recognized as a Somerton source of pride." James Gilbert writes, "Supervisors to take up property tax rates, strategic plan update, and roadwork contract today, Monday." The Yuma County Board of Supervisors will consider several major items, including adoption of property tax rates for the 2026-27 fiscal year, a progress update on the county's 5-year strategic plan, and approval of a large pavement preservation contract. Supervisors are required under state law to formally adopt all property tax rates and levy amounts for the coming year, including those for the county's general fund, flood control district, library district, and several improvement districts. The vote also includes rates submitted by school districts, cities, colleges, fire districts, and other special districts, which the county must adopt in order to bill and collect taxes on their behalf. The board will also receive a mid-year update on the strategic plan for fiscal year 2025-29, a framework adopted in 2023 and finalized in 2024 to guide county operations and long-term planning. The plan is organized around 5 priorities: exceptional customer service, healthy and safe communities, effective governance, operational excellence, and growth and development, supported by the department-level action plans. Monday's presentation will provide a brief snapshot of progress across those areas. Supervisors will also consider authorizing Public Works to participate in the City of Yuma's pavement preservation contract for the county's annual chip seal program. The agreement, estimated at $1.74 million, will cover roughly 512,000 square yards of chip seal work across the county highway system. Public Works says the project was budgeted for the fiscal year and that piggybacking on the city's contract streamlines procurement. Supervisors are expected to vote on the tax rates and the chip seal contract while the strategic plan update will be presented for information only. This article, written by James Gilbert of The Sun, "Supervisors to take up property tax rates, strategic plan update, and road contract work today, Monday. Fort Carson, SRU, rising above, finding a way. The article is written by Staff Sergeant Sebastian Fernier, Fort Carson Soldier Recovery Unit. For Sergeant First Class Stephen Lunn, life in the U.S. Army was defined by adrenaline, precision, and the open sky. Having spent time with the elite 82nd Airborne Division and the 10th Special Forces Group, Lunn was operating at the top of his field as a test parachutist at Yuma Proving Ground. In July 2019, everything came to a devastating halt. During a jump, Lunn sustained catastrophic injuries. "I broke both of my legs and had a brain bleed, a frontal lobe hemorrhage," Lunn recalled. 2 years of grueling surgeries, relentless pain, and limited mobility followed. When he finally arrived at Fort Carson Soldier Recovery Unit in July 2020, his future in the military seemed bleak. "I was walking with crutches, and I still had my left leg in an external fixator, so I was very limited as to what I could do." Initially hesitant and unsure of what to expect, Lunn thought his military career was over. He just wanted to heal and get back on his feet, and that's when he was reassigned to Fort Carson SRU. The turning point? Binding control at the SRU. Transitioning to the SRU proved to be the toughest mental hurdle Lunn had ever faced. Being a parachute rigger and test jumper, going from 110-mile-per-hour work life to stopping and slowing down, everything felt like it was moving at a snail's pace, he explained. However, Lunn says he quickly realized that he had found a facility where everything was accessible and a staff that was deeply invested in his recovery. At the SRU, injured soldiers are given the critical time and space to focus entirely on themselves. "It really is a time when you are forced to look at your healing and your path. It wasn't a bad thing by any means. It actually was an eye-opener." One person in particular fundamentally changed Lunn's trajectory: Eleanor McKinnon, his nurse practitioner case manager at the SRU. When the military wanted to send Lunn across the country to Walter Reed Medical Center for a second opinion regarding the potential amputation of his left leg, McKinnon stepped in. "I didn't believe there was a need for a second opinion. I knew what my leg was and what it had been through," Lunn says. McKinnon connected him directly with coordinators at Walter Reed, advocating fiercely on his behalf. "Her getting me in touch with that person on the phone to fight my battle to keep all my care in one place really helped me feel like I had control of my injury and my status." An unlikely relief. Due to the sheer extent of the damage, Lunn ultimately had his left leg amputated in October of 2021. While the loss of a limb is a tragic milestone for many, for Lunn, it was the aha moment that reignited his life. "It's sad to say that the loss of a limb isn't an aha moment or a relief, but going through 2 years of surgery, recovery, pain, and anguish, the moment I had my leg amputated was the time when I really felt like things could change," he reflects. Just 6 weeks later, he received his first prosthetic leg. Armed with renewed sense of purpose, Lunn was back on his exercise bike, walking his dog and pushing his physical limits. His primary driving force? To become self-sustaining again. Returning to the sky, Lunn's relentless drive, coupled with the unwavering support of the SRU and his former command team, Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Garvey and Command Sergeant Major Keith King, helped him achieve a dream he initially thought was impossible: returning to duty. Initially, Lunn had requested the continuing on active duty program, just hoping to finish his 20 years. He assumed there was no future for him in the military. By the time he reached the physical evaluation board, the second phase of the medical board process, he had made incredible progress. Their verdict? "You are good to go, full return to duty." In January 2023, Lunn made history. His MOS department recognized him as the Army's first parachute rigger to return to duty with a prosthetic. He got right back to work at the parachute rigger facility and for the 10th Special Forces Group at Fort Carson. But Lunn didn't just return to work. He returned to the sky. "My first jump back was in May of 2023, he said. "I completed a static line jump at Fort Carson. I've been jumping military free fall ever since." Today, Lund jumps with his prosthetic leg and has completed over 500 jumps with one leg. Currently stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia, he serves as the master parachute rigger for the Silver Wings demonstration team and is an accredited freefall instructor and a tandem instructor. This is something that I truly live for and truly love doing, Lund says, with pride. A legacy of healing. Having lived through the darkest days of the catastrophic injury to emerge triumphant, Lund continues to use his experience to guide others. Once I got to the SRU and met the cadre and the personnel, I was blown away by how amazing they all were, he says. He now actively advocates for the SRU, advising commanders and first sergeants to utilize the facility for their own injured soldiers. This article, Fort Carson SRU, Rising Above, Finding a Way, was written by Staff Sergeant Sebastian Fournier from Fort Carson Soldier Recovery Unit. Ensuring Arizona's Water Future, written by Braden Steele from the Yuma Sun. Along with California, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, Utah, Arizona relies heavily on the Colorado River for its water needs. Without the river, places like Yuma wouldn't have access to water required for its agricultural industry. But Yuma and the United States are not the only places that depend on the Colorado River. Mexico also relies on water from the Colorado and other systems across Arizona and the Southwest. Water rights must be frequently renegotiated, and with ongoing drought and regional crisis in water, those negotiations can become strained. The results can be reduced allocations for certain users, including farmers. To help address these concerns and future negotiations with Mexico, Arizona Town Hall hosted a webinar calling Ensuring Our Water Future part of its cross-border connecting services. The river supports approximately 40 million people and around 2 million hectares of irrigated agriculture, said Dr. Jesus Eliana Rodriguez Bergueno, researcher at the Institute of Engineering at the Autonomous University of Baja California. Along our border, agriculture simply couldn't exist without water, and of course without agriculture, nobody exists. We need to coexist to ensure our sustainability, our economic vitality, that shared mission. We all depend upon each other. The United States' first agreement to allocate the Colorado River among the seven states it flows through was in 1922, the Colorado River Compact. The agreement allocates 7.5 million acre-feet of water to each of the upper and lower basins annually, with an extra 1 million acre-feet granted to the lower basin each year. To help establish the future of agreements between the United States and Mexico, Larson reviewed the water history between the two countries. The first official agreement concerning the Colorado Rio Grande and the Tijuana Rivers was in the 1944 Water Treaty. Before that, the Harmon Doctrine held that the countries had absolute sovereignty over the shared waters and did not have to share them. The treaty established the allocation of international waters between Mexico and the United States, including 1.5 million acre-feet per year of Colorado River water to Mexico under normal conditions. The treaty remains in effect and has been amended many times through minutes, which allow rapid changes to water allocation to accommodate flow changes, environmental conditions, and emergencies. Since 1944, more than 330 official minutes have been added. In the recent operational framework deciding water allocation between lower and upper basins, the lower basin bore the brunt of the cuts to the allowed withdrawal from the Colorado River. Larson expects that decision will result in lawsuits between the basins that could reach the Supreme Court. After droughts and the reduction in Lake Mead water level, cooperation between the United States and Mexico has shifted from preparing for scarcity to managing it. While many more conversations and negotiations over water are ahead, Larson said he's hopeful that the nation will continue to work collaboratively. I do think our history has been one of really working collaboratively together, and Mexico being an excellent partner in acknowledging shortage sharing as a way that we can work together. Any water win for the region is a win for everyone, and we don't need to think about this, at least in partisan perspectives, as winners and losers. Water is political enough. This article, Ensuring Arizona Water's Future, was written by Braden Steele of the Yuma Sun. Turning to the Yuma weather report for the coming week, for today, Monday, it will be sunny and hot with a high near 111. Calm winds becoming south-southwest around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. On Tuesday, it will be sunny and hot with a high near 112. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. On Wednesday, it'll again be sunny and hot with a high near 111. South-southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. On Thursday, again, it'll be sunny and hot with a high near 112. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. And on Friday, it gets up another degree higher with a hot, sunny day at 113 degrees. Light southeast winds becoming south-southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. And on Saturday, more of the same. Sunny and hot with a high near 112. Light south-southeast winds becoming south 5 to 10 miles per hour in the morning. So it's going to be over 110 every day this week. We're now at the conclusion of today's Yuma Sun program. This has been Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster. Thank you so much for listening to the reading of the Yuma Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. If you enjoy hearing news from around the state, please do stay tuned for our daily broadcasts on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Stay well, everyone. Be healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.